Good morning, everyone. Very big welcome to our service this morning. Welcome if you're watching online, and have a number of visitors, people we don't know, people we do know, and you're very welcome to join us and be with us here as we worship God together. We've missed this last week. We've had our young people away on holiday up in Wales, and we're glad to have you back. Welcome back. Hope you had a good sleep last night. And we want to express a special thank you to the leaders who took a week off work and who worked hard to make this week a really good week for the young people. All the effort that went into that is greatly appreciated, so we thank you for that. Just one thing to announce for this coming week. We're looking forward to our camp, Crowborough Camp, which is here on site, starts on Saturday. And if any of you can help with putting up the tents on Friday evening from 6:30, then do let Luke or Mark know. Perhaps you might not be able to help then, but when we take down on Saturday, that's normally a bit lower on the ground for helpers. We don't want the leaders to have to do any of that. So if you can help at any of those times, let us know. That would be great. Well, we're going to turn our focus to God. He is the centre and focus of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. We have lived and existed this week because he has given us the breath and the life to do that. And he's abundantly filled our lives with good things. And our first song we're going to sing reminds us of God's faithfulness to us. He is faithful all the time, faithful to his promises, faithful to his character, and that is such a good thing for us. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. Let's stand and sing this together. Privilege it is for us this morning to spend this time together to come and have our minds focused on you. Lord, you are good all of the time. You are faithful to your word all of the time, and that gives us great comfort. You're a God of great kindness, of steadfast love, You look upon us in mercy and not in judgment as we trust in you. You look upon us in wonderful grace. You held not back your only Son, but gave him up for us all. And you will freely give us all the things that we need. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness and kindness to us this past week. We've lived and breathed, we have eaten and drunk, we have moved in the strength that you have given us. Lord, we come in confession this morning because we underestimate hugely your character. You are a great and holy God. The brightness and splendor of your holiness means that we cannot approach you with our sin. And yet we this week have treated sin lightly. We have not resisted temptation, but we have followed our own desires. Lord, we have underestimated your wonderful welcoming grace, that those who repent and turn from their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are forgiven of every sin. What amazing grace. And yet we have sinned this week and hidden from you like Adam and Eve. We've wondered whether you would accept us back. We've wondered whether you would forgive us. And yet your love covers all of our sin. Your grace is immeasurable. Your mercy is totally undeserved to us, and yet it is freely poured out on us. Lord, this week perhaps we have been over anxious and worried about things that are big in our lives, and we have underestimated that you are the God who sees. You are the God who knows, you are the God who cares. You're the God who leads, you're the God who provides. And as our Heavenly Father, you love your children. Oh Lord, forgive us that we have such a small view of you. And we praise you for the more that we learn of your greatness and power. And however dark as your people, the road of our lives may become, however difficult, we know that in you the future is full of hope. And Lord, that is a great blessing. That is a great prospect for all who trust in Jesus. So Lord, again, as we come to worship this morning, we want to declare from our hearts that we lay aside any trust we have in our own good works. We put aside any of our trust that we will ourselves be acceptable to you. And we cling to Jesus and we say, he is our hope. He is all goodness for us. He is our salvation. And in him alone we trust. Oh Lord, we thank you for the amazing grace of God displayed in Jesus, in his love, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. So Lord, accept our worship this morning as we come to praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this last week and for the way that you have answered so many prayers for the young people on their holiday. Thank you for the good time they had. Thank you for keeping them safe in travel and in their activities. Thank you for what they've heard from the Bible. We pray that as they've been taught, that what they have heard will stay with them. That it will be a seed which is planted in their hearts, which will grow and bring transformation in their lives. Lord, we pray that in their hearts there will be a real repentance toward God and faith in him and a new life of following him. Lord, what a great thing it would be before the years and the days of our lives have been wasted to ourselves, that while we're young, we will remember our Creator in the days of our youth and follow him, live our lives well spent in his service and for his glory. Lord, we thank you for the leaders who have worked tirelessly this week. Thank you for their love, compassion, their leadership. Oh Lord, bless them, we pray, and give them a good rest. Bless those who are working tomorrow. Give them strength and energy, Lord, we pray. And now we come to read your word. We pray you'd open up our eyes so that we understand what we are reading. Help John as he preaches from the Psalms later on, we pray. Amen. Well, we've got two Bible readings this morning. They're both in the book of Psalms, and that is Psalm 61 and Psalm 62. If you're reading from the Church Bible, that's on page 478. If not, it's up on the screen. Well, many of the psalms were sung. Like we've just sung at the beginning, we've sung a song, we sing hymns. Well, the people in the day of the Israelites sung psalms. David wrote many of the psalms and often set to music. There's a word that comes up now and again, and nobody really knows exactly what it means. It's this word Selah. And I think it's given us the idea that it's time to just pause and stop, think about what's just been said. Perhaps it was a bit of an interlude in the music. Perhaps the musicians played so people could think about what they'd just been singing. But I think that's the kind of thing it's trying to get us to do here. Let's read these two psalms, Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me dwell in your tent forever. Let me take refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So will I ever sing praises to your name as I perform my vows day after day. Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. For him, from him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that you, O Lord, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. Well, we're going to sing two songs now, two hymns together. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock, and rock of ages. It follows this theme that's come up in the two psalms about God being our rock and our refuge. And after this, James will be doing the children's talk. So if you are primary school age, if you're a visitor, you're very welcome as well to join us up the front here after our next song.
Bye. Morning, good to see you. Now, I'm going to start with a little story. Something happened this week. Oh, hello. Yeah, nice. Something happened this week, and it was a bit sad, okay? Someone I know wasn't treated very nicely by a group of strangers. They were at an event, and they were supposed to be having fun, and these group of people just were really quite mean. They were saying some really hurtful things, some nasty things, and, you know, it really ruined their day. It was quite sad, and I thought, oh, that's not good, is it? You know, why would people be like that? Why say nasty things? You know, why say it at all? And it got me thinking, right, about, you know, how we should be. Now, I've done an experiment this morning. I know, this is slightly crazy, this experiment, but I actually did this, right? I've got two apples here, right? Where are they? Here they are. I've got this apple. Nice. My favourite, Pink Lady. Crispy, crunchy, juicy. Now, I have been really nice to this apple all morning. When I had my morning coffee, I said to it, "You're a lovely looking apple. Look at you. I cannot wait to crunch you later. You are gorgeous." Right? I've been saying lots of nice things to this apple all morning. But then I've got another apple, exactly the same, from exactly the same bag. And this apple I was a bit mean to. I was saying things to this apple like, "You're not as pretty as the other apple. You do not look as juicy as the other one. And I don't reckon you're going to be as crunchy as the other one." So this apple I have been lovely to. Been really nice to this apple all morning. This apple, bit mean. Bit nasty, bit, you know, "You ain't as good." And then I brought this along, right? Don't try this at home, kids, okay? It's an experiment. Here is the apple I've been nice to all morning. I've been lovely to this apple. Look at that. Crisp, greeny, juicy, nice. Who would like that apple? I would. I know for a fact I would love that apple. And here's the apple I haven't been quite as nice to. I've been a little bit to this one. Oh, no. Look. It's bruised. Doesn't look quite as good as the other one, does it? It looks a bit hurt. Looks a bit battered. Looks a bit sad, really, doesn't it, if I'm honest with you? It does not look as good as that other one, does it? That looks a bit sad and not as good at all. And this is exactly what we need to think about, okay, about how we treat people. Because those apples are exactly the same as us, okay? If I'm nice to people and people are nice to me, my insides are like that good apple that I've been nice to all morning. They're happy, they're golden, look good, they feel good, my feelings are great. But if people are a bit mean to people, or come across and say the wrong thing, or rude, or not being very nice, our insides are like that other apple that I was really mean to. They're bruised, they're hurt, doesn't feel as good, doesn't look as good, it just isn't right, is it? And there's a part in the Bible about this, because Jesus treated everybody with love. He treated everybody with kindness. He treated everybody with respect and care. Even people that nobody liked. Okay? So you imagine the meanest, worstest person ever. Right? Not talking about your school teachers now, or your dinner ladies. I mean, even worse than them. Well, I know some bad ones, trust me, where I work. Okay? Don't be Molly. We know one, don't we? No. Right? But, you know, imagine that people are even worse than them. These are the people that everybody disliked. Everybody just couldn't stand being there. Jesus would sit and talk to them. He would treat them with love, with respect, with kindness. He'd have dinner with them. He'd go around and have dinner, invite them to dinner. You know, and people are like, "What are you doing that for?" But that's what he was like. He treated everybody really well. Everybody was the same. He treated everyone with so much love and care. And this is what I want us to think about, to be a little bit more like Jesus. In the Bible, it says this, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, right? And this is actually known quite commonly as the golden rule. Okay, so the golden rule means this is the rule, okay? So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So that's a rule that we should really try hard to stick to. That's a rule that if we treat people nicely, people treat us nicely. Would you like to be treated, you know, how would you feel if someone was mean to you? You'd feel awful. So that's why we mustn't be awful to people. We must stick by the golden rule. Treat everybody with love, with care, with respect, with dignity, even when they upset us. Even when they've taken our last bit of chocolate. Hard, eh? Even if they nicked my golden apple and ate it and I didn't get it, we're still to treat them with love and with care and with kindness. And that's why it's called the golden rule. It's the rule that we really need to try and live by. Treat everybody how we would like to be treated. I love being treated nice, don't you? Yeah. I don't think any of us like being treated bad, do we? No. So we've got to treat everyone nicely. And if we can try and live by that rule and be a little bit more like Jesus, then what more can I ask for? So can we try that for me? Yes. Can we give it a go, the golden rule? Yes. Can we be good apples or are we going to be bad apples? What do you reckon? What do you reckon? Good apples. Excellent. Thank you very much for listening. You can go back. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Let's pray again, shall we? Lord God, help us as we carry on praying now, and we feel convicted in our hearts after what James has just said, especially if we're adults too, because we seem to become experts as we grow older and have the experience of life and relationships and friendships. Our ability to speak before we think, text before we've thought through what we really should be saying. Lord, we confess that we have the ability to upset people. We have the ability to be easily offended too and unforgiving. And so we pray for your forgiveness for that. Help us to remember that your word says that we should forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us. And that is such a high standard. If all of our sins have been forgiven and paid for by Jesus, there is no offense that anyone does to us that we should not forgive them for. And so, Lord, help us in our daily battle of life, in the Christian life. We want to become more like Jesus so that we reflect more of his love, and yet we fall so far short. We need the strength that comes through living a life full of your Holy Spirit, that we'll have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, of love and joy and peace and so on, to show to each other and to the world around us, the broken world around us. Lord, we pray to you for this world that we live in. It is broken in so many ways, and we ask that as Christians we will be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope. And Lord, we pray that we will make a small difference in our communities, in our families, in our workplace, in our surroundings. We pray that where there is war, you will bring peace. We pray where there is hunger and famine, you will bring aid. Lord, we thank you for the compassion of many. We ask for great success for those who are peacemakers. We pray this morning for those who go way and above and beyond and give their life to share the good news of Jesus in places of danger and war, in cities, in jungles. Lord, we pray that you would help them. In places where people are oppressed by the darkness of false religion, oh Lord, we pray that the light of the gospel will shine into people's hearts, will release them from that grip and bring them into the freedom of knowing you. Lord, we pray for this coming week. We thank you for our lives. We don't know what every day brings. We don't know the length of our lives. We sang earlier on that we will stand before a judgment throne, that is the throne of God, where we will give account as to how we have lived our lives, and essentially whether we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died and rose from the dead, or whether we have rejected him and gone our own way. Today, the Bible says, is the day of your grace, a day when we are called to turn from our self-focused lives to live for Jesus. And on that day, we will face you in judgment. I pray that we'll be ready for that day. We thank you that if our trust is in Jesus, it is a day to look forward to. If our trust is not in Jesus, it is a day to be afraid of. Lord, call many people into your kingdom today as the gospel is preached from churches, from places of secret, from out in the open air. Lord, we pray that many will be brought into your kingdom today. Lord, we commit to you the plans for Saturday and onwards and the plans leading up to camp. We pray for the leaders, that you will help them and give them the energy and the strength that they will need. Thank you for the young people that are coming on that camp. We pray that it will be a great week of fun, enjoyment, of friendship, and of a time too when they are come to face with your teaching and are greatly blessed by the truth that they hear. So Lord, we want to finally thank you for the many blessings that you've filled our lives with. You are good to us all of the time, and we want to give you the praise. Amen. Well, there's been a wonderful sound that has been heard back at Forest Fold again, intermittently, now and again, and we've missed it for many years, and it is the sound of a baby crying. We like it intermittently and in the background, but it's a wonderful sound, and God has blessed Kevin and Lydia with baby Noah, and at the end of the service, John is going to give thanks for him, and we're going to sing now a song before John comes to preach, a song that Kevin and Lydia have chosen. So let's stand and sing this together. What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer?
Oh, So we're looking at the second of those Bible songs that we had read earlier, Psalm 62. And this Bible passage became very special to me the first time that we went to Dartmoor. Maybe you've been to Dartmoor or to Exmoor. The moors have a very rocky terrain, lots of rocky outcrops called tors. And at the time I was reading the Psalms and was reading these Psalms, and it made it, brought it to life and made it very special to me. Maybe you've been to rocky landscapes. Some of you have been up Cader Idris this week. Maybe before that, the rocks you're used to are the little shorties around us, Wellington Rocks, Toad Rocks, Harrison's Rocks, and you've been struck by the impressiveness of the rocks that you've seen in the areas you've been to. Well, rocks point us to God. Rocks point us to God. Do you find it helpful to remember God as a rock? Well, this wonderful picture comes out of the Bible song, the psalm that we're looking at in Psalm 62, verse 2. He alone is my rock. Verse 6, he only is my rock. Verse 7, my mighty rock, my refuge is in God. It was in the previous song, the one we had read as well. It comes up in verse 2. From the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. A rock is sturdy. It's firm. It's so different from the marshy areas. There's plenty of marshy areas if you go to the moors. There's plenty of marshy areas, and the rock is just so different. It's solid. A rock is unchanging. You think of the configurations of these rocks. Maybe you've been to Dartmoor. That's one of the Dartmoor tours. I don't know how much you know of your Dartmoor tours. Anyone know which one that is? Hay Tor, that is. I think it's one of the more famous ones. Perhaps you've heard of Hound Tor, other ones, and they're still the same. You know, before cars were invented, people were going up them, and they look similar to what they are now. Some of us went on the first YB holiday when we went up Cader Idris 40 years ago, and I guess it's largely the same now as it was then. God is a point of stability in our shaking life. God is changeless in our changing circumstances. And this can be known personally. So the three times he says, my rock, he alone is my rock. He only is my rock, my mighty rock. Do you know God personally as your rock? Well, when life is rocky, goes up and down, we need to know God as our rock. And there's one verse that stands out in this psalm that we're going to mainly focus on this morning. I think it's meant to stand out. So if you've got the psalm open or on your app or something, have a look down under which one it is, which verse stands out particularly. One that makes it very relevant to everyone. David's been talking through his experience, and it's all very helpful and insightful. It's inspired by God. But one message is particularly in what he says, one verse is particularly out there for you, for others. It's verse 8, where he says, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. It's followed by one of those sealers. In other words, yeah. Take that in. Think about it. Mull over it. So it's the verse really which sort of might be in a bigger font or a colourful font, or imagine it flashing of all the verses. This is a key one for us. And we're going to think about it this morning. Sometimes we look at whole chapters, sometimes many chapters. This morning, although we're going to draw from the whole psalm, just got the one verse particularly we're going to home in on this morning. And in it, we have a what to do, a when, a how, and a why. A what, a when, a how, and a why. Perhaps you can see where I'm going if you've got the verse open in front of you. What's the what? What are we to do according to this verse? We are to trust in him. That's how it starts. Trust in him. To have confidence in God. To be secure in him. What do you rest on? What do you depend on? What gives you security in difficult times? We sometimes put our trust in people. And it's good to have trustworthy friends and family and colleagues, but they're not ultimately our point of trust. Verse 9 says, those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. We're grateful for good finances if we have them. A bit of money in the bank, maybe a steady income. Maybe a pension in place, which will help out in future years. But finance is flimsy and passing, especially when it's got the wrong way. Verse 10, put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. When we get down to it, our basic trust needs to be in God. It needs to be in the one who is solidly trustworthy. Ultimately, resting only in him, as the psalm starts, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Look to him, lean on him, have him as your bedrock, his care, his promises, his plans. I was camping again this week, despite at least twice in my life resolving never to camp again. We were camping at a convention, and it was a good time for the time I was there, albeit a wet time. And it sent me back about 20 years being on a campsite. It sent me back to when the Hares, Alan and Jean, very kindly lent us their motorhome for a couple of weeks holiday. And one of the words of guidance that they gave to us as we sort of worked out where our holiday was going to be, they said it needs to be on a hard standing pitch. It needed to be on concrete. The vehicle was so big and heavy, you couldn't put it on a normal grass pitch. Got wet and muddy, it would sink and the wheels would spin, and you'd need a tractor or more than a tractor to haul it out at the end. Park on the solid stuff. And we managed to find a site in Pevensey Family Stage. We needed to be quite near, and we're Pevensey, and there was a hard standing pitch. Well, our circumstances and our problems are often very heavy in life, and they're too heavy for mere dirt. Life throws its wind and its waves, and it makes things slippery. And we need something to rest on. We need to trust in him. Life gets wet and muddy. Your problems and circumstances are very heavy. You need to be looking to the Lord. You need to have your security in him. You need to be leaning on him. This is David's message to us. Trust in him. When are we to trust? And the answer carries on. Trust in him at all times, O people. Trust in him at all times. Now, David had had his tough time, and we get a flavour of it in verses 3 and 4 in this psalm. So he felt under attack. He felt as though he was about to collapse. Verse 3, how long will all of you attack a man to batter him like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? He felt targeted. He felt lied to. He felt cheated on. He felt deceived. Verse 4, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. We don't know all the details. It could well have been when Absalom and co. had been treacherous to David. We're not quite sure. And we can go through similar experiences. We feel let down. Sadly, we let others down. And those who go through such situations find it hard and painful. And we need to trust in those situations in the one and the person who never lets anyone down. But David's lesson isn't just for his specific situation. It's for a whole range of situations. So he says, trust in him at all times. Life has its different times. YPs, I think you're going through Ecclesiastes this week, and perhaps you touched on chapter 3, a time for this, a time for that, a time for the other. There's a whole range of times in our lives. And these are times to trust. What might they be? Times of guilt. Times of anger. Frustration. Times of uncertainty. Times of fear. Times of ill health. Times of loss. Can relate to some of those and a whole host of others. Trust in him at all times. My watch was playing Silly Billies this week while I was away, and it sort of partly packed up and I couldn't reset it. And being away from home, I didn't have all the instructions and everything sorted out, so I had several days where in some ways were a little bit lost, because I look at my watch quite a lot and I try to adapt a bit, do what other people do, look at their phones for time, clocks for time. But it was a little bit disorientating. I didn't immediately know the time. Well, as I didn't know the time or my steps, which is another problem, I didn't know how many steps I'd done, so I didn't know the time or my steps, I thought, you know, in a way, this psalm tells me what the time is. It's time to trust. It's time to trust. Wouldn't be a bad thing for us to remind ourselves occasionally when we look at our watches, or you look at your phone or whatever your timepiece is, and you're getting the time itself, but also remember, it's a time to trust. So it's 12:04 on this, 12:05 on that. Yeah, that's the specific time. It's handy to know. But it is also, it's a time to trust. It's always a time to trust. Even in great difficulties, when life feels like it's falling apart, like David, time to trust. Trust in him at all times. How? Well, we've been given one answer, in a way, earlier in this psalm. It involves waiting sometimes. Verse 1, my soul waits in silence. Verse 5, for God alone, my soul wait in silence. Not everything is sorted out quickly. We haven't got the magic wands to instantly change circumstances ourselves and say, job done, move on. So some things are with God, and they take time, and we wait trustingly on Him. Some things are never actually sorted out fully in this life. There are some actions we can take, we should take. It's our responsibility. But for so much of concern as well, it's waiting trustingly on God and His timing. But the main answer in this particular verse is this: pour out your heart before Him. Pour out your heart before Him. We express trust by telling God, by being open with God, by passing it on to God. And I think it's very descriptive language, don't you? Pour out your heart before Him. So those days, water wasn't sort of piped to the house. You had to collect it. There was somebody who was collecting water that we'll look at tonight in John 4. Water is quite heavy, isn't it? Water's quite heavy. If you've ever gone camping and you've gone to the sort of water pipe the other side of the camp field, you've taken your water carrier, it's your arm's nearly falling off by the time you get back. It's quite heavy if you've got a big container and you fill it right to the brim. Well, you imagine somebody in those days and they've got a large, perhaps, water pot, and they've gone down to the river or a well, and, you know, well, they make most of the journey, so they haven't just taken a teacup. They want to get a substantial amount, and they're heading back towards their home, and it's very, very heavy. And at home, just outside, maybe they've got a container where they sort of store it, and they eventually get to the container, and what do? They pour out their water pot into the container, and they feel the relief, a weight off their back or off their hands, off their shoulders. They've poured out. They've transferred their weight from them to the container. And this is what we're to do with our loads. We're to pour them out before the Lord. We're to tip it on Him. We're to let Him take the load. Says later in the Bible, casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. Well, what might be in your water pot, if you like, that you need to express in trust by pouring out in prayer to the Lord? Well, it might be guilt. And you're feeling the weight of what you've done wrong in your life or recently, and it's weighing you down. And what do you do with it? Well, you pour it out to the Lord. It's no good holding it yourself. You can't do anything with it. You've got to pour it out to the Lord. You have to say, Lord, I'm so sorry I said this. I'm so sorry I've lived in this way. I'm so sorry I let that person down. And the Lord says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't hold it yourself. Don't hold on to the guilt. Don't try and deal with it. Pour it out on the Lord and confess it to Him. It might be family troubles. If it was Absalom, then this was family troubles because Absalom was his son. And here he's pouring out that family trouble on the Lord. Or lack of family. We've got the joy of giving thanks at the end of the service for a new baby. And maybe that could be quite hard sometimes for those who haven't got family and would have loved family. And Hannah in the Bible had no children, and she prays in anguish about it, and she says that she's been pouring out my soul before the Lord. So our family troubles, we can just say, Lord, this is the situation. I'm so concerned. I care so deeply about what's happening. I feel as though it's beyond me. But we would pour it out before the Lord. It might be the hurt of how we've been treated. It was here. These psalms also point to Jesus. And He was faithful and trusting in the face of the treachery of others, the treachery of Judas. And pray to the Lord, expressing trust in the Lord in what he was going through. Maybe it's like that for you, where you've been treated. Might be about our fears. You know, the next month is full of troubling things, maybe. Okay, the summer's all right, but what about September? You know, I've got new things coming my way in September as I move on to the next phase in life. Or I don't even know what they're going to be in September. Pour them out before the Lord. You know, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. I'm frightened of that new place. I'm frightened of that new job, that new college. Might be our uncertainty. The king in the Bible, well, a king shouldn't feel like this. Kings should know what's happening. Kings are the leaders. Lord, we don't know what to do, and our eyes are looking to you. Pouring it out, you see, the uncertainty of the future, the difficult decisions, not knowing how to deal with it. Missing out on what you used to enjoy. Psalm 42. Missing out on worshiping with others. These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. It was like that. It's not now. I don't enter into that. I can't enjoy that. How do I handle that loss, that frustration, that sadness, that difficulty? Well, here it says, I pour it out before the Lord. When we feel weak, and life seems to be fading and passing so quickly. That's how it feels in Psalm 102. And before we get into the psalm itself, the title puts it like this. A prayer of one afflicted when he is faint and pours out his complaint before the Lord. So are you holding on to the water pot with its burden? Or have you tipped it out? We find it so easy to hold on, don't we? Sometimes we tip it out and it fills again quite quickly and we have to tip it out again. Trust at him, in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. That's what we've got to do. Expression of trust in prayer. But then, lastly, why? Why should we? What reason is there to trust God? And it says here, God is a refuge for us. God is a refuge for us. Well as sturdy and stable, rocks can prove a handy shelter, can't they? I remember when we were in Dartmoor, we were on one of these tours, and you know what it's like, sometimes you can look at clouds coming your way and wonder if they're going to rain, or sometimes you can see like a curtain draped from them, you know, so you can tell it's rain, can't you? You can see rain sort of falling like a draped curtain in the clouds and come in your direction. And we had that, but I looked at the tour we got, and there was an area where it went overhead, really, and you could sort of, a bit like a tunnel, a little bit of a cave. I thought, if that comes, I'll be all right, we'll be okay, we won't get wet. We can hide under that, we can take refuge. So what it says here, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. We sung Rock of Ages. I don't know if you know that older hymn. We had it slightly adapted. Some of you may know the background to that song. 200 or 300 years ago, I think it was written. The songwriter was travelling on a stormy day. We had a stormy night here in Crowborough, didn't we? I don't know if you had it where you were. Very stormy evening last night. Well, it was a storm coming his way as he was travelling. So he wanted to get out of the deluge. And along the side of the road, there was a big cleft in the rock. You can still go there. It's got a little plaque on it. Somerset, quite near Cheddar. And he went into that cleft to shelter from the storm that was coming past. And then it made him think of what Jesus was to him. And he wrote, I don't know if it literally there or afterwards, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. as he saw Jesus as his place of refuge. And you know, Jesus is the place of refuge for people who feel their sin and their failure, who know they need saving and safety. They know they need protecting from the righteous anger of God that would come their way. Jesus is the place of safety. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Have you put your trust in Jesus? Have you sort of sheltered under him what he's done on the cross, his perfect life, what he's done out of love for people to save him? Have you gone under him to be safe? You need to go to Jesus to find the place of safety. What is it about God that makes him such a place of refuge? Well, the psalm ends with three things which reminds us of why you and I can trust God. They're in the last two verses. God is powerful. God is steadfast in his love. And God is just. Verses 11 and 12. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. What a combination. We feel so weak and we feel so frail, but we can remember that God is mighty in his sovereignty, powerful and trustworthy. Power alone in itself isn't always good, but God is a God of love, of reliable, faithful, steadfast love towards those who take refuge in him. And what helps when we're screaming inside with the sense of unfairness of the way we have been treated or others have been treated? God is the final judge. All will be sorted fairly. All wrongs will be rightly addressed, either on the individuals or on the Lord Jesus Christ as he takes their guilt instead. 1 Peter 2 says of Jesus, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. So just one verse this morning then, but plenty in it. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Well, shall we sing together a hymn of trust? It's the version of Psalm 23, the newer version. And then afterwards we have some thanksgiving down the front here. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. If you're able, do stand to sing the last song. Well, do sit down. And what a lovely privilege, as John referred to earlier, it is for us to give thanks for a baby and to pray for the parents. And that's what we're doing this morning. So we welcome you, obviously welcome the family here as well at this special time. Kevin and Lydia have been given the gift of the wonderful gift of Noah. And that's Noah John Ranson. And he was born on the 19th of May. So he's over 2 months old. But he was actually due only 3 weeks ago. So he popped out early after 33 weeks of pregnancy, which brought many concerns as well as joys at the time. But he's doing well. And Kevin and Lydia are thankful to God for his kindness and his help to them through this period. We like to read a verse or two at these times when we give thanks for the birth of a baby. And so I wanted to do that. His name is Noah John. John is after his granddad who passed away earlier this year. And both names have a link with grace. Both names have a link with grace. So John means God is gracious. And Noah in the Bible, you know, Noah of flood fame, was the object of God's grace. That is God's undeserved mercy. So let me read from Genesis 6, verses 8, and then I'll read a bit of 9 in a minute. It says, "But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord." Sometimes it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God showed grace to Noah in the Bible, exceptional kindness. He spared him, he blessed him. And God has been kind to this Noah already in general ways. He's doing well. He's got loving parents, got people that pray for him. Many blessings, God's kindness and grace to Noah already. And we also pray that as the years go by, that he may know God's special grace in a special way, that he'll come to trust in Jesus, to take refuge in Jesus, as we heard this morning, that he might rejoice in God's forgiving love in a special way. And that affected the Bible Noah's life, as it goes on to say in the next verse. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And they're good things to pray for this Noah as well, aren't they? That he might be a righteous man, blameless in his generation, walking with God. So we're going to give thanks and we're going to pray for this little Noah too. Let's see if he can hold back while I pray. Heavenly Father, we come with a real sense of joy and thankfulness and praise for your kindness to Kevin and Lydia and the family. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful gift and we thank you for helping them through those early stages of big concern. We thank you for your blessing to this little Noah and all the things that he's already been privileged with in this life. And we pray for him as he gets older. We pray that he may know much of your kindness and blessing in his life, especially that he might come to place his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to take refuge in him. We do pray that his life will be one which is righteous in his generation, that he may walk with God, and that he may be thoroughly blessed and a blessing to others. So, Lord, we do rejoice together with the family and give you praise on this special occasion. And we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.